We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Yoredeya, Chelek Beis, Hilchos Reishis Hagez, Halacha Gimel, Paragraph Yud Beis. Rav Nosson Zal, this is like an appendix to the central halacha that we learned. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to speak about the laws of Avelus, the laws of mourning, how it relates to what we've been covering so far in this halacha. V'al kein, based on what we've been learning here till now, will understand why stam nidui hu shloshim yoim, that if chas v'shalom a Jew is excommunicated and they don't specify a time, how long, the default is 30 days, v'chein ikra velus hu shloshim yoim, and so too the main part of mourning, the basic timing of mourning is 30 days, even though we know that there's Shiva, the first 7 days, which have some unique laws about it, but the more standard is the Shloshim, the 30 days. Ki Shloshim Yoim Hu Chodesh, because 30 days is a month. Uvechol Chodesh Mismales Halavona Mipigimoso, and throughout every month, the moon gets filled in from its deficiency, from what it's lacking. We've mentioned many times, the Gemara says in Chulin, that originally the sun and the moon were both created as equals. Shnei Ma'orois Hagdolim, the two large lanterns. And at one point the moon complained and said, can't have two leaders equal. Hashem said, you're right, you shrink, you go down. And the moon said, what do you mean? Just because I made asked a logical question, I go down? Hashem said, you're right. Will give you the stars to supplement you. And after a whole lengthy negotiation and debate, Hashem finally said to the moon, you're right. And therefore, every Rosh Chodesh, on the first of the month, the Jewish people will bring a special sacrifice as an apology from Hashem to the moon, to atone. That's why the Pasuk says there, Seir Chatos Echod Lashem, a goat that's brought as a chatas offering for Hashem. That's the only place where it uses that wording. Chatas offering, a sin offering for Hashem. So the Gemara uses the terminology that the moon became deficient, defective, as a result of the Hashem lessening the light of the moon substantially. And every month the moon goes through a cycle where it starts off from almost zero, and it grows and grows and grows till we see it as a full moon. And this concept of the moon filling up from its deficiency, is related to what the Torah says about the future when Mashiach comes, that then the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. So every month when the moon starts off small and grows to a full moon, it's moving in that direction. In the direction where at the end of time when Mashiach will come, then we're going to see the real full moon. Then we're going to see the moon at its fullest, when the moon will be comparable to the sun. But even nowadays, even while we're in Golis and everything, we still see the moon going through this cycle, starting off very small, dark, deficient, defective, Pegam Halavon it's called, and throughout the month, building up to becoming to Milui Halavon it's called, went to a full moon. V'zehu b'chinas klolius ben v'talmid. And Rav Nosson Zal says, when we say that in the future, the moon will be equal to the sun, that's the combination of the coming together of the sun, S-O-N, and the student, which Rabbeinu Zal speaks about in that chapter in Likutei Moran at tremendous length. We spoke about the knowledge that a parent passes on to a child, special mitzvah in the Torah, v'shinantam levonecha. A father has a mitzvah to make his son aware of Hashem and respect Hashem, etc. And then there's another mitzvah of a rabbi teaching a student. And Rabbeinu Zal, throughout that chapter in Likutei Moran, speaks about the Ben and the Talmud. And Rabbeinu Zal explains the differences between them, how in some ways the son has an advantage over the student, in that the son is literally from the seed of the father, whereas the student is not physically from the seed of his rabbi. And on the other hand, there are some advantages that the student has over the son. There are many cases where the student gets closer to the rabbi than his own son because of the depth of the relationship, etc. Ki ben v'talmid heim bechinas aspaklaria ha-meira v'aspaklaria shein ha-meira kemoy shemavur shom b'mayim ranal. Because Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likud Imran that the son and the student are like what the Torah describes, two different levels of clarity in seeing Hashem. The Gemara tells us that among the prophets, there was Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the only one who saw Hashem in the form of Aspaklaria Hameira, which means like total clarity. He was able to see Hashem in the clearest possible way that a tzaddik could ever see Hashem, such clarity. And that's why when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, he said, Ze hadover, this is precisely what Hashem said. This is what Hashem said. The other prophets, when they delivered prophecy, they said, Koi omar Hashem. Koi means approximately this is what Hashem said. Koi means like this is what Hashem said. Implying that even though they were prophets, even though they heard Hashem, but they didn't hear it with anywhere near the clarity that Moshe Rabbeinu did. So we have these two levels, Aspaklaria HaMeira versus Aspaklaria Shein HaMeira. Rabbeinu Zal says over there that the son, S-O-N, is called Aspaklaria HaMeira. The student is called Aspaklaria Shein HaMeira. V'Aspaklaria HaMeira Zebechinas Chama. The clear view is this represented by the son, S-U-N. The Shein HaMeira, the Aspaklaria, the not so clear view, the lesser light, Zebchinas Levona, Kayadua, is the moon, as is known. Shezeo Bechinas Moshe v'Yehoshua. These two terms, the sun and the moon, Aspaklaria Meira and Eshen Meira, correspond to Moshe Rabbeinu versus his closest student, Yehoshua. Bechinas, as the Gemara says, Pnei Moshe kipnei Chama, the face of Moshe Rabbeinu shone like the sun. Pnei Yehoshua kipnei Levona, the face of his student Yehoshua shone like the moon. Shehein bechinas hasogas ben v'talmid kanal b'maimran alayin shom. This corresponds to what Rabbeinu Zal discusses over there in Likut Imran about the son, S-O-N, versus the student. Moshe Rabbeinu is the son of Hashem Kaviyochel in a sense. He's the one that has that clearest view. And Yehoshua represents the student, Aspaklaria Shein HaMeira. V'alkein Hashir Shloshim Shu Chodesh. And this is why the standard amount of time for a nidui, for an excommunication, or for mourning is 30 days. She'oz chayzer v'niskabetz v'nichlal chama ulevono yachad kivatchila. Because it's after a 30-day cycle that the moon and the sun get restored to their original state, in a sense. Shehu bechinas klolius ben v'talmid yachad, which is the concept of the sun, S-O-N, and the student merging together. Shezehu ikar hatikun lemenuda v'avel. And this is the main tikun, the main rectification for a Jew who has been excommunicated or for a Jew who's in mourning. Why? Because when a Jew has been excommunicated or he's in mourning, it means shenestalek mehem hadas v'amoichen kanal. As we explained earlier, that when a Jew is excommunicated, it means they tell him, you're out, chas v'shalom. That means you're out, meaning you have no das now. You have no moichin. You have nothing to contribute to the community this minute. We don't want your contribution. We don't want your das at all. And so too, when a person, when a Jew loses a close relative, it means that person's soul has departed. And we showed earlier that the soul is the das, the moichin. So when one of someone's close relatives, chas shalom lo aleinu, leaves the world, it means some of the das of that family has left the world. Ve'ikar histalkus hadas hu bechinas pirud chas v'shalom bein ben v'talmid, bein chama ulevona. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains, when we talk about the das, the meichin, leaving, what we're referring to is a separation between the son and the student, S-O-N and the student, between the sun, S-U-N, and the moon. Why? Ki bein hu bechinas dore mala, v'talmid hu bechinas dore mato, kanal b'maymar nal. Because Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likud Imran that the sun, S-O-N, or S-U-N, both of them, represent the dore mala, the upper level, the higher level of Jews. Whereas the moon or the student represents a lower level. V'dorei ma'ala v'dorei mato im b'chinas neshama v'guf. And the higher level and the lower level are also represented by the soul and the body. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says, Yikro el hashamayim me'ol, Hashem will call out to the heaven above. And the Gemara says, Zeh ha-neshama, that refers to the soul. The soul corresponds to heaven. The body corresponds to earthliness. Man is called Adam because the body comes from the Adama, from earth. U'kishenestalek hadas, shehu hachius, shehu ha-neshama. And when we say that the das leaves, the das is the spiritual life of the person. The das is the soul of the person. When that leaves, ze pirud bein haneshama vaguf. That means there's become a separation between the body and the soul. They've become disengaged from each other. Shehu bechinas pirud bein bein v'talmid. That's the concept of a separation between the son, S-O-N, and the student. Shaydei ze ikar histalkus hadas. And that's what causes the das to leave. When there's a break, when there's a separation between son and student, that's a histalkus hadas. Ki ikar hadas hu hischabrus shnei hafochim. Because the definition of das is the uniting of two opposites. When the Torah speaks about Adam and Chava coming together, it says vayeda Adam eschavo ishtoi. That means they were united. Das unites. And das unites opposites. Because das is the ischabros of shnei afochim, chasodim ugvurois, such as chesed and gvura, which are opposites. Dore mala v'dore mata, the upper level and the lower level, which are opposites. Neshama v'guf, the soul and the body. Bechinas bein v'talmid, kemuvmachar, the son, S-O-N, and the student, who are opposites in some ways. She'ikr hadas shemechaber shnei afochem yachad. And the whole concept of das is that das is a force that brings together two opposites, like chochma and bino, or chesed and gvura, or husband and wife. V'alkein, tikun shel hamenuda v'ho'ovel, and therefore, the person, the menuda, the person who has been excommunicated, or the ovel, the person who is in mourning, their tikun. What do we mean by tikun? Dahainu sheyachzuru lahem hamoichin. How do we return to them the moichin that have left? We said when a person goes into nidui, there's the moichin leave. When a person's an ovel, the moichin leave. How do we return the moichin? Huliachar shloishim. It's after 30 days, shu chodesh, which is a month. Sheoz choizer v'nestakein pegam alavona. That's a complete cycle of the rectification of the moon, ki bechol shloishim yoim nestakin pegam halavona, because every 30 days the moon goes through a fixing, a correction, ki halavona soiveves vohileches bechol chodesh, because the moon goes around every single month, umismaetes umismalis, it decreases and increases. Vehi mizbareres umistakenes b'chol pam b'chol chodesh v'chodesh, and it goes through a fixing and a correction each and every single month, ad shetachzor v'tismalei legamri, until the moon, the light of the moon, will be restored and corrected completely, k'moy shehoisa koydem yuta, as it was before Hashem lessened the light of the moon. V'alkein, and therefore, li'achar shloshim, choizer v'nisyached chama ulevana, ben v'talmid. And this is why after 30 days, that's when the sun and the moon are restored to a degree. And that's when the S-O-N, the sun and the student, are put back together. V'choizer l'kabel hadas. And the person goes back to receiving the das, getting back the das that left as a result of a close relative passing away or as a result of being put in cheren. Shehu hachaim. Das is life. Das is spiritual life. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to open up one of the most delicate stories in Judaism, in the history of the Jewish people. One of the greatest giants of all time of Jewish history was Rebbe Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. He is known, the Gemara calls him Rebbe Eliezer HaGodol, Rebbe Eliezer the Great. He's usually, they don't call him Ben-Hur, they call him the Great. The story of how he came to the yeshiva is an incredible, fascinating story. It's too long for us to go into right now. He originally was not a yeshiva bocher, and he came with incredible, incredible sacrifice to try to join up in the yeshiva, to come and learn. And he was starving. He was starving spiritually and starving physically at the time, to the point where there was a bad odor coming from his mouth because he hadn't eaten for such a long period of time. And the Gemara and the Midrash tell how he forced himself into the yeshiva to be accepted and how he rose through the ranks to become one of the greatest rabbis. He was one of the leading rabbi of Rabbi Akiva. When we say that, he doesn't require any more introduction than that. If we say he was the main rabbi of Rabbi Akiva. And there was an incident, and the Gemara says that he was very strong, very powerful, and very tough. His lineage goes back to Shammai. And Shammai, we know, were known for their strictness, for their toughness. And he's mentioned thousands of times, possibly, throughout Shas. Almost every page, Divrei Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Eliezer HaGodol, I'll quote a Mishnah, a Braisa about Rebbe Eliezer. There was one incident where he had a disagreement with the rabbis, as they did many times. Only this time, even though they were the majority, Rebbe Eliezer didn't let go. He felt so strongly about his opinion, about this a certain type of oven that's called Tanur Shelachnai, that he decided he's going to prove his point. And he showed the rabbis miracle after miracle to show that heaven is taking my side. And the rabbis still, they stuck to their guns, he stuck to his guns, to the point where the rabbis were compelled to put him in cheren, to excommunicate Rebbe Eliezer, because if not, this could have undermined the whole Torah Shebal Peh, the whole foundation of our oral Torah, which is that majority rules, and that the Torah, the authority is on earth. Even if Hashem says this, Hashem himself has given the authority to the rabbis to overrule him in certain instances. Comes to deciding when is Rosh Hashanah, the angels ask Hashem, when is Rosh Hashanah? Hashem says, what are you asking me for? I won't decide that, they will. When they say it's Rosh Hashanah, that's when it's going to be Rosh Hashanah. And there are many, many other instances where Hashem tags off to the rabbis. And in this incident, as we'll see, they excommunicated him, and he was forced to comply with. And from that point on, he was alone in his house with his family, and the rabbis were in the Beis Medrash without this unbelievable resource, without this giant who all of them benefited from so much. And now Rav Nosson Zal, this story is presented in the Gemara in Baba Metzia, if I'm not mistaken, at length. And the Zohar HaKadosh gives the whole story also with many details that are not found in the Gemara. So between the two stories, it comes together. Rabbi Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, in his Ein Yaakov Shurim, because he knew the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh, he puts the puzzle together and he gives an incredible, incredible presentation of this whole story in the Ein Yaakov tapes on on Baba Metzia. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to touch on this delicate topic.